When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Snap. Give to Chubb. Chubb running. Chubb! Touchdown! Nick Chubb did it. He stayed on his feet. The Browns take the lead. 57 seconds to go. And the Browns lead the Steelers 24-19.
Just when we were ready to anoint Pittsburgh as legitimate. Good morning, Metroplex. Friday edition of Sean, RJ, and Bobby here on DFW Sports Station 105.3. The Fan. Got the entire crew here, including Peyton Russell back from the sickness. That's it, Pay. Just one and done?
Well, Wednesday was the absolute worst, and I actually showed up. It was too late. You know, we have a rule here.
Too late
to call, you know, in the morning, so you don't have a replacement for me, so I gutted it out Wednesday, and then Thursday was much needed to rest. But yeah, by the late afternoon, early evening, I was fine.
You still look a lot rough.
I'm not 100% for sure, but I was like 2 days, then, you know, I got the holiday week next week, so I was like, you know what, I'm fine, I can be here.
Well, you're better off than me because I just walked into the room after the car battery dead, dunzo, no chance. My first day parking in the garage. And this is what I get.
You don't park in the garage?
We just had moving stuff, so much crap in there. You know, we decided to make the brilliant move of moving into a new house while 8 months pregnant. So that kind of delayed things. But for the birthday gift, the wife went ahead and cleaned things up. It was so nice walking in there. I didn't have to worry about the defrost. I didn't have to worry about heating it. What I did have to worry about was starting it, because that bad boy is done.
That sucks, because you got two choices at that point, or three, I guess.
Two choices.
A, get those cables out and jump it real quick.
Yeah.
B, take her car and leave her with nothing. Or C, if you could find one, take rideshare, which apparently that's how you did it, and I am stunned.
Yeah, I immediately went to the apps. One was like 13 or 14 minutes away, and then the other one was like 6-7 minutes away. So I immediately hit that. I went outside. I started walking. I wasn't even waiting.
Meet them at the front.
Meet them at the front as quickly as possible. Thank goodness. I don't know how. Thank you, traffic god. Not the usual congestion on 30 and 75. So made it here probably in record time. But you know, if you jump it, then I'm worried about, you know, going ahead and jumping it here. And what happens if, you know, I stop on the way home? Does it putter out? But replacing this thing in this 2011 Jeep is a pain in the ass with, like, all these wires on top of it. So I know I'm going to get AAA or someone out there, and they're going to be like, we can't do this. That has happened before.
They can't?
Yeah, they're like, it's too complicated. It's this and that and that.
So it's not just the two prongs?
There's like wires running over it. It's like
when you got to do the timing belt. So you might as well replace the water pump, because where it's at and everything else.
My buddy's battery is in his trunk.
What?
It's strange. That's some people have it under the back seat. Yours in the trunk?
Mine's in the trunk, yeah.
A lot of people, when you get those like flat vans in the front, that's where they are. They're in the back. But I was hoping you'd be a little late, just like a minute. Because I was like the opportunity to just then open the show and be like, how disrespectful just to not even be here on time.
Yeah.
It's just,
but I wasn't.
I know, which was disappointing to me.
I've got an issue here on our group chat. Because you wrote, going to be cutting it super close, car battery died. And I said, oh, blank, all good. And Bobby said, that sucks, no sweat.
Peyton.
And Peyton hit the thumbs up.
Yeah. Hit the like button, just like you called Phoenix a small market.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what that's about, yeah. but
you know, making it a
small market, you know, like a top 10 city in America. It's population-wise,
smaller than us.
Yes, it is smaller than us.
But I'm like, I don't know that I care for the thumbs up there. That's not a thumbs up.
Maybe, nitpicky. Maybe, for sure.
It's a thumbs down.
Nitpicky.
Maybe he was just
Agreeing, like, okay, I respect that. You know, you let us know that you're being late. And so I was like, okay, I acknowledge it.
Yes. Hey.
I like you let us know. Like, look, you got to report to Peyton with these things.
Mike McCarthy is coming up live at 6:30 this morning. We'll pick the Cowboys-Commanders game. But let's start with Thursday night football. The Cleveland Browns with... And you texted it. The snow saved this game for the most part.
At least in the first three and a half quarters, it saved this game because there was not a whole lot of offense at times.
10-6 after three.
And it picked up in the fourth somehow because it was in the snow and it got worse and worse and worse. And just how awesome it looks, but also how miserable it would be to be in the stadium if you're a fan. If you're a fan in the snow and the rain and the weather and the elements. But, boy, you know, we forget. Like, this Browns roster is pretty good. And if they even had a little bit of play from Deshaun Watson this year, I mean, they could be in a wild card hunt.
Mm.
If they had decent play.
No, really? that's overselling it. They're not that good. They're decent. That's a little bit of an oversell. I think this is more just Pittsburgh is Pittsburgh at this point. This is why everybody's been hesitant to talk about them. I did think it was funny. Yesterday we were getting a little bit of hell from Nick Nepik on Twitter because he's a Steelers fan and going like, oh, you guys can't have him above Baltimore. I see that. And then 2 minutes into the game, I see Nick tweeting, this is just a game we're going to lose. I knew it. I knew we were going to lose. It's like, all right, so you're still a miserable, self-loathing Pittsburgh fan at heart.
Yeah, Russ was 21-28 for 270, a touchdown, 76.4 QBR, but Nick Chubb grinding out 3 yards a carry but 2 touchdowns. And, of course, the only quarterback anyone cares to talk about is old Jameis, who gave this interview in the pregame.
You have said you don't become a Brown until you beat the Steelers. What will it take tonight?
The horse is prepared for battle, but victory comes from the Lord. So I'm dependent on the Lord.
Is that the message to the team?
Day by day, one play at a time. That's the message.
Weather conditions tonight. We're expecting winds up to 15 miles per hour in a wintry mix. How will that impact your ability to throw the ball?
I am so happy and grateful that the Lord has blessed me to play in some snow, to be in true football weather in Cleveland, Ohio at Huntington Bank Field today to get him the glory. It's a beautiful day.
Sure feels like you're playing in the AFC North.
It is. It's magical. Thank you.
Then he had the Thursday night crew doing snow angels after the game. Everyone has to do a head dive.
Mm-hmm.
Whitworth, Sherman. I mean, he's undefeated.
He is. He's a national treasure.
Well, he took a lot of losses in college and PR and all that. It's just amazing, the turnaround.
Fantastic. Yeah, whoever has been part of his image turnaround deserves a lot of credit. I mean, it must be, clearly. You just heard him, right? He's talking about how that's a big part of it. But that's the only type of sideline interview that I care for at this point.
Jameis?
A Jameis sideline interview. Otherwise, the stupid, like, how is the snow going to affect you? Mm. Like, I don't care. I don't need to hear this. That's nothing.
He ordered something after the game, too, off Amazon.
I just got off Amazon, and I'm probably about to go order a Dove off Amazon. It's going to get here to my house by 9 o'clock tonight. That's how fast it is.
Don't tell that to Elon. Amazon has disappointed me, too. My last two orders have been delayed by a day. That's never happened to me.
No.
Two straight orders, it's like, no, not going to be able to make it. Here's your $1.50 credit back.
Oh, well,
Here's your penalty fee. But Pittsburgh, this was my hesitation in the power rankings. I did say, oh, I think they can make it to the AFC Championship game with that formula because I never thought they'd allow the Cleveland Browns to score 24 points. But here we are. Here we are with the Steelers. They're just an uncomfortable pick.
They are very uncomfortable. Took it on the chin last night a little bit. took Nick Chubb over 60.5 all-purpose yards. He had 60 on the dot. And then I had, of course, the most overrated player in the sport, who all I took was, hey, you know what? I'm going to buy into TJ Watt over a half sack. Goose egg.
Goose egg? Well, Myles Garrett, you should have consulted with him. He could have told you that was a mistake.
I mean, he spoke of the coin toss, but that's about it. You know? Like I said, I got a lot of respect for him, a lot of respect for, you know, all the guys over there, and you know, the edge rusher in the league, but I'm number one. No, that's from edge defender one, edge one to defensive player of the year. I'm the guy. So that runs through me. There's no other person being defended as I am or schemed or planned against like I am. So this goes to show, you know, you can throw that out the window. I'm going to find a way.
Wow. And while TJ gets blanked, Miles with three sacks, the Cleveland Browns pull the upset of the Pittsburgh Steelers in the snow for Thursday Night Football. Mike McCarthy live at 6:30, but we have Jerry Jones responding to the Deion rumors and the Joe Biden comparison. It happened right here on this station. We'll play it for you inside the Star after this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dude, the KMC masterpiece is putting on interview clinics, which I have a great appreciation for. Props to Kevin Hagelin and the crew, because there's nothing but heavyweight punches on this audio cut sheet. Good morning, Metroplex. Mike McCarthy coming up live at 6:30. What would you like to go with? Jerry on the Deion rumors. Jerry on Micah saying they're a damn good team. Jerry on Marcus Spears saying they're not run like a championship franchise, or Jerry on the Joe Biden comparisons from Stephen A. Smith, which is pout. There are more punches on here than Tyson was apparently allowed to throw against Jake Paul.
Man, I think the Marcus Spears one needs a long time. I don't know. Let's go with the Stephen A.
Okay. Cut eight, pay. Stephen A. Smith twice now has suggested that Jerry Jones is kind of losing it, like President Joe Biden, for the time being. This is KMC asking Jerry about it.
Well, as you know, Stephen A. is a fraud in a positive sense.
Stop it. What does that mean? I've never heard that one. What type of? How do I spin that as a positive compliment, a backhanded compliment?
I don't know what that means, but
fraud in a positive sense?
I absolutely want to be one.
Does it mean like, we all know he's acting?
Clickbait, yeah. That's basically, he's trying to get a reaction. He's an entertainer.
Like, that's it.
Like, in a way, I think, I won't use the same word, but I think he's talking about what Jerry does himself at times, where I'm an entertainer and I'm going to...
P.T. Barnum.
The P.T. Barnum thing.
Yep.
Well, as you know, Stephen A. is a fraud in a positive sense. I'm smiling. We are friends. I am having huge support and huge input and help from everyone he mentioned in that call about stepping in. But I would say if he had asked me that question relative to the issue or the criticism that Biden had about his ability to function, I wish he'd follow me around every day. And he would see that I'm the busiest I've ever been in my life. And I'm not concerned about the ability to do the work, do the job. I just made a quick 14-hour trip back and forth to New York here yesterday. And so my point for a league meeting, but my point is that Stephen A. and I'd love to have him just sit beside us for a day and make the rounds and have him listen to me, field the calls, and do the kinds of things we do. And he wouldn't be worried about me there. But I do appreciate his concern. And by the way, it is genuine.
Look, I mean, you're the busiest you've ever been at 83 years old, just take a break, man.
Are you surprised that that was as pleasant as it was in the response?
Yeah, which means to me, he knew, he was totally prepared to answer it. Because he was,
you're welcome,
calm.
Ted.
He was calm. He had every little point structured out. There was nothing about it that seemed like as unfair as we felt Stephen A. was. There's nothing unfair about the way Jerry handled it. Jerry handled it completely. Just Hey, you know, I invite him to come sit with me if he's concerned about it, and I appreciate genuine concern. I'm he's my friend. You know, all these things were very positive. So very calm, very measured, and you know. Accurate. He's not having the same issues that Biden was. That's why it seemed like such a ridiculous, unfair criticism from Stephen A. in the first place.
And
he's not having the same issues. It has to be tough though when you get to that age to maintain the same schedule or a busier schedule than you did when you were 40 years old.
Of course,
or 30.
Of course,
you know we could see. I mean, we could see it with us. Like it should be easier for Peyton than it is for us to navigate through the day. With sleep. Now it's not, Bob, because, you know, he doesn't have the same tiger blood that we do.
So now you will see the KMC masterpiece on national television for about a good hour today as Stephen A. gets this injected into his veins. Jerry Jones personally addressed me, and he knows it's coming from a place of genuine concern. He'll get into his deep, serious voice today and also say, Jerry, I'd love to follow you around.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and set that up.
Do they owe you a bottle of nice liquor for drawing their attention to their what will now be their national attention?
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed. Maybe they'll let me off the hook for the peace-a-thon. But I'm kind of disappointed. I brought it up to Hagelin, and then he asked it, but because it appeared like he had no idea what I was talking about.
Yeah, what was it? To Stephen A. And then we said bye. He goes, oh, no.
I think of all the people who drive in during someone else's show right before them, Hagelin probably listens the least amount. Like if it was G-Bag like driving in, I would think like Chiafalo, Broadus, like Corey Majors is always listening.
Yeah.
Bassick listens. Hagelin has no idea what we're talking about. So
I think it's Hagee and Lucius probably right around there.
Yes.
I don't think you have to worry about that though. I think our names are going to be up there today. I think there's a good chance of that.
I think you're right. I think it is possible. But that was a hell of an interview question by the fellas. Now let's get to the Deion Sanders rumors.
I think we're way ahead of ourselves relative to when and if he decides to go into coaching in the NFL. And one of his greatest skills that he really brings to college is that he is almost has no peer as far as being a recruiter. I mean, kids want to come play for him, and he has a way of selling that. And that is one skill, that recruiting skill, that is not a huge prerequisite for NFL coaches. And so one of his greatest values is in that area of putting the team together and in the sense of getting great talent to come and play for him there at Colorado. So all of that would go into your mind, but make no mistake about it, he's one of the top people, young and old, that I've been around in the NFL.
Is that him saying no because of Deion's recruitment in college that would not take place in the league?
I think it's the most polite endorsement of Deion without saying we wouldn't bring him in here. Because I think that's the reality. I don't think Deion would ever.
I don't think
not currently. Does Deion coach a certain way over the next 5 years and change things and make, you know, change people's minds potentially? But as it stands right now, I don't think he would ever coach.
Plus, a big development may have happened for Deion yesterday to keep him in Colorado.
He got the number two quarterback recruit. He's only a 16-year-old kid now, and this is a stark change for Deion, because what is one thing Deion has not done his first 2 years at Colorado?
Recruit.
Recruit high school.
Yeah, portal is different, but he will not recruit high school kids.
He has done a great job in the portal. He has not recruited high school kids because, I mean, he's got Shador and Travis. They're like, these guys are upperclassmen. We need vets around them. We need kids that can plug and play. I get it. Now he's like, I got to build a program now. These guys are leaving.
He is getting ready to face his friend on the other side, Dan Quinn against Mike McCarthy. The head coach of the Cowboys previews the Commanders on Sean and RJ next. It is now time for the Mike McCarthy Show, brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee Company, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys, Cowboys Commanders. Sunday on this radio station, it's Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Happy Friday to everyone, including Coach, who's joining us now on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Okay. Scenario time. You got 40 minutes to be at work. You go and start the car, and the battery is absolutely dead. What is Mike McCarthy doing in that situation with 40 minutes to get to work?
Oh, well, I think it depends on what era I'm in. In my younger days, I pop the hood and get to work.
But,
Today's world, I'm making phone calls.
Okay, but who are you calling? When's the last time you've been in a rideshare, an Uber or a Lyft?
It's within a year.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. I know there are fancier ones.
There are fancier ones, yes.
Sorry,
there are. It's called Not For Us.
I thought Coach was definitely going to go with a Pittsburgh guy is not going to be, you know, like calling the Uber or Lyft like I did. He's either changing out the battery. Does everyone have a spare battery, though, in their garage?
The jumper cable.
I thought Coach was going jumper cables right there. Yeah.
Yeah, jumper cables, definitely. But I don't, you know, it is a different day and age, and just fortunate to have a second car too. So that'd probably be my first reaction.
Are you a good handyman around the? And my car died, so I had to get the ride share. I can't get my hands dirty like that this morning, so I barely made it in for you, Coach. But are you a good handy guy?
Not with automobiles, but used to do a lot of construction with my father growing up.
Nice.
You know, he had duplexes and you know, apartments that he was always, you know, renovating and fixing up. So did a lot of that. But actually, I don't do much of it now because actually my wife really enjoys that.
Really enjoys it.
Wow. But you get a flat tire on the road, you change it yourself though.
Today? Maybe not today, but I've changed plenty of tires in my you know, younger days for sure.
He's calling the helicopter to come pick him up.
I'm driving a better vehicle these days too than those younger days.
Those run flats are amazing.
Coach, just take us through some of the memories that come into your mind as you get set to take on Dan Quinn. As we obviously know about his history here, and a nice job really turning around y'all's defense. Just what kind of has gone through your mind about the DQ memories this week?
Well, I think, you know, number one, you know, just starting to talk about Dan, you know, I just, you know, you think about the personal relationship that we have, and, you know, those are times that, you know, I know I miss, and then just the simple things, you know, the long conversations, you know, in his office or in my office, you know, generationally, we kind of came up in this league at the same time. So I've always appreciated his music taste, which was always blaring in his office. So at the end of the day, so, you know, we were here a lot together, you know, at the end of the day, particularly Thursdays and Friday nights. So I definitely miss his friendship.
And what was a common genre that you guys agreed upon?
Probably boxing. You know, we talked a lot about boxing, and I think just the great, you know, the great heavyweight division of the 70s, and you know, this, the great fighters that we all admired, you know, growing up. You know, when the Four Kings Netflix series came out, we were both really into that because, you know, you just remember those days.
Coach, I saw you at the fight. A little quick sidebar. Choppy was also there. Disappointing you guys didn't meet up.
We did not see each other. He was in a better seat.
That's right. But Choppy says that a boxing fight, in his opinion, is like the biggest electricity event if it's a good one. Could you see yourself agreeing with that, just the electricity of a big fight being there?
Oh, definitely. I was so impressed with the whole atmosphere at AT&T. I wasn't at the Canelo fight, and everybody was, you know, talking about how electric that evening was too. But yeah, I'd have to agree. It's a different atmosphere, but definitely the electricity was outstanding.
Mike McCarthy here on the Fan. Back to DQ. Their defense, you know, isn't anything fantastic, but just like scheme wise, coach, is this pretty much what he was doing here? As much as you're, you know, allowed to, I know you're allowed, but as much as you're willing to say about it, scheme wise, is it looking like really, really familiar to the Cowboy days?
Yeah, the foundation of it is, you know, the starting point, you know, particularly in their sub packages, you know, philosophically, you know, Joe Witt is really pivoted off of, you know, what was done here. You know, Joe was involved in the construction of the defense here. So now, it, just like all of us, when you do get a chance to coordinate, you take it, you know, the direction you truly believe in. And I think Joe's done a really good job there. But yeah, there's a lot of the similar concepts, but the variations in how it's being called is definitely tailored more to Joe.
Coach, a lot of your depth had departed this offseason and ended up in Washington on offense and defense with Tyler Biadasz, even former players like Noah Brown over there now, Noah Igbinoghene, just different guys. Which is more advantageous for you guys, do you feel like, at times? Is it the familiarity with the scheme and the coaches, or the familiarity with some of those players on the other side?
I think they go hand in hand, frankly. I think like anything, you know, you really break them down separately at the beginning of the week. You know, the first thing we do on Monday, you know, we get together there at dinner time is we have a personnel meeting, and our personnel department does an excellent job of coming in and giving us a forecast of what they've seen in the most recent update of, you know, the past game. So, you know, and then with that, the coaches have already really started their pre-prep, Thursday, Friday, the week before, and you tie it together. But they're both very important, and I think it helps when you do have, connection to the players and also to the schemes that they're running.
Mike McCarthy joining us here at 105.3 The Fan. Has Jaden Daniels exceeded the evaluation that y'all had on him, you know, coming out of college? Is he the same type of player?
Well, I wouldn't say so. I think all those, that whole group, it was an excellent group of young quarterbacks, and you know, and I think they've all started out the right way. Now it's just like anything; it depends on what team you go to and the opportunity you have, and you know, just having a rookie quarterback really only going through it one time. From my personal experience, you know, as much as it's put on is the young man ready to play the position, and how fast is he success? I think it's critical. If you look at the history of rookie quarterbacks that have been successful, you know, it's what's around them is probably most important. So when you do have a excellent defense and a run game and things like that to go with it, I always look back at Ben Roethlisberger when he took over with the Steelers there. So. And had a great rookie year, but you know, it was an established team. So I think when you put around those guys is important, and I think all those young quarterbacks are doing a really good job. It was an excellent class, and he was definitely up at the front.
Coach, there was a lot of Lamar comparisons with the running style. Does he run as much as Lamar, and are they similar as runners, or definitely different?
Well, I mean, similar, I'd say closer to similar than different. I think the fact that how they're being used, you know, I mean, it's a there's definitely a responsibility for the quarterback to run in their system. You know, maybe not as much as Lamar, but I think Lamar is really in a class by himself.
Yeah,
and I think you have to be careful to compare anybody to him right now. You know, I think just the way he's played the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, he's playing at an MVP level every year.
Yeah.
This young man's off to a great start. And I think, you know, the other thing too, I think his passing traits are are top notch too, and he'll continue to grow, particularly in, you know, the concepts that he's in, and, you know, having better, you know, touch and feel for those. But he can make any throw to any part of the field.
Coach, Micah kind of lit up at his locker yesterday talking to the media when he was talking about the opportunity to play this week against Washington and get that competitive opportunity against Dan Quinn. Is that something you're noticing throughout the locker room this week with guys, is a little bit of extra competitive juice, knowing like, oh, hey, we get to go against, you know, an old friend of ours. This will be something that gives us a little bit of extra juice this week.
Oh, I think it's, you know, that's all part of it. I think it's really the division game. You know, playing Washington is always – bright energy, you know, as long as I've been here. So all of our division opponents bring that to the table. You know, I think when you're the Dallas Cowboys, you're everybody's rival, and that's part of the responsibility and how you have to train and the mindset you have to be in. So I think it starts there, and yeah, definitely Dan. And there's a, you know, like I said, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of former comrades on, you know, in Washington too. So that always brings extra competitive juice. And you know, I think we're just seeing Micah get back to, you know, full strength. Micah had his best practice yesterday. I thought he was outstanding yesterday. He was flying all over the field. So I think it's always, you know, a number of things. But in the other part, too, is, you know, it's a short week. You know, this game is really coming fast.
Coach, I wanted to ask you, because we're all focusing on a tough stretch here every single day. Who has played – let's give some props to someone who we're not talking about enough. Who is someone – because Coach broke down the other day emotionally over Marquise Bell, and that just got me to thinking. Who is someone else that has been standing out to you here over these past few weeks that we're not highlighting enough?
Oh, offense or defense? Where would you like to start?
Whoever, John. One of each.
I would say Cooper Beebe, just because for a rookie to play center – in this league, and to do it as consistently as he's done it has been really impressive. I mean, not only the physical part and, you know, all the stunts and games that we've been experiencing, you know, as far as the challenge up front, but just to handle the mental and the emotional and the communication responsibility, I think he's been a steady rock in there. So I've been very impressed with him. And I would probably jump to defense and go right to Overshawn. I think he's a young man that just keeps getting better and better each week. You know, he makes flash plays, but, you know, his consistency of, you know, just being all over the field and just a better understanding of the defense, you know, every time he goes out there. So I'd say those two guys.
Mike McCarthy, join us here on The Fan. You mentioned this tough stretch here with a short week, and you're coming off a short week. Do you find this stretch, the Sunday, Thursday, to be the most difficult to navigate, you know, every year?
I think if you, you know, you go through it for the first time, just being fortunate to be in the league, even in Green Bay, it seems like we played Detroit probably every other year or every third year over there. So, I do have experience with it. So I think when it's new to you, it's probably difficult, but it's really today's NFL. I mean, it's, you know, let's be honest, they're going to be playing football games every day of the week before, you know, mm-hmm. before long. I just think it's just the world that we live in, and, you know, the training regiments are smarter, you know, than prior, I know, to earlier in my head coaching career. I think I have a better understanding of what you can get done in a 6-day week versus a 7-day week, an 8-day week, or a 4-day week. So I think experience, I don't think it's as much as a big deal. And our guys, they deal with it every year, so it's just kind of normal here.
You know, I know you've mentioned that Cooper Rush gives you all the best chance to win, you know, that game that day. But a lot of fans do want to see Trey Lance play. How far away is he? What does he still have to show you in practice to get that playing time?
Well, I think you've really answered the question. When we start each week, it's, you know, you build a plan and you try to set your lineup to win the game, and it's not really what Trey needs to do. I mean, Trey's really done everything that's been asked of him. I mean, he's developing. He has a really good understanding of the offense. You know, we have done things for him package wise, if that opportunity does present itself. So, but it's not as much about what he needs to do. We just feel that, you know, Cooper has established himself as the number two, and that's the way we're going right now.
Coach, Cliff Kingsbury spent some time away from the NFL, went to USC, has come back and has had a lot of success here with this Commanders offense and particularly running the ball. Is there anything that you've seen on tape this week that says, oh, okay, I see some of the different philosophy changes he's had here, or is it just some of those concepts are having better success that he was using back in Arizona?
I think it's a combination of both, but mainly really just what he's always done. I mean, you know, Cliff was, you know, part of the, you know, air raid family and, you know, what he did in college. So, you know, I think really the up-tempo stuff is the best part of it, of his offense, and just in my opinion. I've always appreciated the speed and the ability to conceptually throw volume with that. So I've always been a fan of, you know, Cliff's. I had a chance to coach Cliff back in the, you know, my New Orleans Saints days. So I've always liked his mindset and his mind for football. But you can always, you know, I think it's really in the last 10 years or so, you would say the impact of college football on pro football has been pretty fluent, you know, so everybody pays attention to what goes on, you know, in college and vice versa in the NFL.
Well, Coach, my mom is on the way to the airport in Maryland, getting ready to fly out here for Thanksgiving, but she wanted to pass along. She is such a fan of you on the interview, so I had to say that and pass it along. So well done again, and good luck in Washington. We look forward to next week.
All right, I appreciate that. You guys have a good quick week, I guess. When are we up? We up Friday? Yeah, what's the schedule?
Yeah, I don't actually know.
Peyton, get on the mic.
Yeah, it'll be next Friday.
I guess everything's not a routine. used to this by now.
All right, get out of here.
Have a good week or so. Whatever. I'll talk to you next.
Thanks, Coach. There he is, Mike McCarthy, here on your Home of America's team.
Yeah, that was he was upbeat, I think. He was good.
Yeah, I thought he was in a good, decent mood.
What was your awkwardness thing we were talking about beforehand? Just how weird it has to be, right? Or when do people start like looking at you in the hallways? And we have more time to ask this to Coach. Yeah. But we had a pleasant conversation. When do people just kind of start looking like, there he goes. There he goes down the hallway.
Right. And I think, and I always wonder, like, so, you know, and look, Mike's been in this business. He's been in long. He knows what's going on, right? Does he wonder if they're looking at him differently before they start looking at him differently? You know, like, are you like, do you
say it again?
So like, does he wonder
before they're actually doing it?
Right.
Yeah.
Cause you get a little insecure. People get it. It's just human nature.
Yeah.
Like you start, are they talking about me?
I think you got to walk up in front of the room and go, look, we all know the deal, the situation. I can handle it. I'm on the hot seat. You know, I'll handle my future. Don't worry about that. Like, I would come out and just acknowledge the elephant in the room.
Absolutely. I think you have to.
Do you say that then, or do you say that in August? Like, when they get...
Both.
That's one of the things that I think... and I think we asked him about it at the time, and he didn't... If he did address it like that with the team, he didn't want to tell us it, because he was like, we're just focused on football. But I think you do, very first day, you got to just kind of be honest and level with everybody and just put it out there of like, guys, we understand the situation. I don't have a contract pass this year, but... We're gonna focus on
and
on
many
football,
of you and many of you don't either.
Yeah, and like, don't. Hey, we're all, when we say we're focused on a game at a time and a year at a time and everything like that, that's what we need to have here too.
You know, also, I wonder, you know, in the August thing, I wonder how many people actually know his contract status on the team.
Oh, I think they know.
Because of the networks.
Only because of TV.
So like maybe on the Cowboys, but if this was like.
Oh yeah, no.
Jacksonville. If you played for Doug Peterson, do you have any? Do more than half the players know Doug Peterson's contract status?
I just know there's enough internal discussion,
sure,
among even players after a game like Green Bay, where they go, "Is he coming back?" That they are aware of where his contract
well,
is.
Well, speaking of Green Bay, one of Mike's former players had a little story about trying to trick him back in the day. This is the big man, Eddie Lacy. On his film iPad usage on the game in Milwaukee back in the day.
Coaches had the ability to see our iPad usage and how much film we're watching outside of the building. So coach called me into his office and he asked me about my iPad usage. He said, how much do you use your iPad? And I was like, every day when I'm in the building. And so he says, how much do you use it at home? And I was like, and he was like, zero. And so
he already knew the answer before
Yeah, he knew the answer. Yeah,
but you didn't try to lie to him though either.
Oh, I didn't. No, I didn't lie. I was like, I was like, you know. And then he's like zero, and so he pretty much fussed at me. And but the thing is, like, I was like I said, outside of football, like when I get home, like football is no longer a priority. So James comes up to me and he's like, bro, it's not a big deal. Like,
James Starks,
James Starks. He comes up to me. He's like, bro, it's not a big deal. Like, when you're at home, do whatever you normally do. Just turn the iPad on and put it, like, pick a video, pick a long one preferably, and just make sure the light stays on. So long story short, my iPad usage went from 0 to 100%. I watch film all day.
So Mike McCarthy never called you into his office again.
I've never been up there again.
That's amazing. It worked effectively there. And so it was, that's it. That was actually just like last week. He finally was like, statute of limitations passed. I think I could talk about that. But this is the kind of thing that, again, I think statute of limitations is passed. Nick made reference to it before. But this is something that historically used
Nick
to get.
Who?
Nick Eatman had made a joke about it a couple weeks back, I remember. And I think some listeners are like, what was he talking about there? This is something historically that got Jalen Smith in trouble. Jalen Smith never watched tape.
Really?
Ever. And it was something that got him that, like,
wow,
they were like,
I would have been, I'm really surprised by that because he gave off the impression of, I swim in this.
Manziel-esque.
Well, Johnny didn't even try.
Yeah. I just mean in terms of the actual engagement.
Zero. Really?
Yep.
Wow.
It showed up. It looked like it.
I mean, you got to use the life hack of the iPad under the mouse.
James Starks, like he gave the cheat code there to Eddie Lacy. Yep. Just turn on a video, make sure the light stays like over, tap the screen every now and then.
It's like me with all the Odyssey videos that we have to do.
Dude, all the NFL training I got to do. It's just like I get to the end with the little quiz they throw in there, and I'm like, what's
the best answer?
What's the most woke answers here? Boo, boo, boo.
Oh, jeez, buddy.
Speaking of coaches, Rex Ryan, it's coming off now to me, Rex, as a little bit desperate. This is Rex again talking about the Jets.
I look at it this way. Blow it up. We're going to blow the opponents up. There's way too much talent on this team to play the way we've been playing, period. And how hard can you get a guy to play? That's the thing. Like, nobody's seen a team going to play the way as hard as this team's going to play in the future. Trust me, if I'm the guy. Trust me. And that's going to be it. That's what's going to separate me from all these other guys you're going to bring in. You know, your Grudens, your whoever, whatever. Give me a break. Oh. They ain't New York Jets. I'm all about the Jets. And the great thing is, all right, yeah, second chance. You get a second chance at it and things like that. Doesn't happen very often. Yeah, well, when it does, it's usually special. And so we'll find out if I get that chance or not. If not, then, you know, hope they have one hell of a guy in place because I still want to be a fan of the Jets. I still want to be. But, you know, when I look around, I know nobody's better than me.
ESPN New York, and I think he even said in there, they're like, what would the Jets be if you were coaching them? He's like, probably undefeated.
He's lost me now.
I was there, I was intrigued, but I'm like, it's coming off a little desperate, and then to be like, yeah, undefeated, I'm like, oh, okay.
So he has to do a weekly on that show. We see clips from him all the time. It's got to be a weekly. Or something like that.
No, I think he's doing a media tour.
Maybe he is.
Like today he's, I think, doing Barstool. Because I don't think it's usually from that show. He's just going wherever he can. We need to call him.
He's clearly just, he's puffing his chest out. I don't even know at this point, does he really want another job? Or does he just, he wants to give off the air of like, I could have done this. Like, is he trying to reputation building outside of just, he knows he's not getting another job. So he can talk all the smack he wants about what he would do.
I'll tell you this. You know, I don't know that it works in the NFL, but like if your college program had a coach who was like an alumnus or like it's and wanted the job as badly as he seems to at least presents that he wants the Jets job, you hire that guy because they are going to do whatever they have to do to succeed in that college program.
All right, there it is. Shout out to the 6 a.m. Club, our best audience of the entire show. Can this finally save the All-Star game that nobody cares about? And we talked about NFL Hall of Fame yesterday. Choppy has some baseball Hall of Famers with some Diamond Cavs on the home of the Rangers next.